an aspect of our lives that is becoming more prominent and prevalent. God, I pray that we would see your protection. We would see your goodness and your love. I pray that you would speak through me. I have nothing to say. And God, if anything comes from me, I pray it's not heard or received. It's not believed or understood. But God, would your truth find its way into our hearts and into our minds, that we would live differently because of it. And we would do so to draw attention to you and not to ourselves. And we pray and ask your blessing on this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go ahead, have a seat if you would. Ask you to get your Bibles out if you brought one. If not, we were handing them out to you, and that's our gift to you, so go ahead and keep that. Also, if you look in your worship guide, there is a place for you to take some notes. I'd encourage you to get that out as well, and something to write with. So hopefully you have Bible, you have something to write on, and you have something to write with. And let me make one little, thank you very much, guys. Let me make one little announcement here that we have a couple of months ago, actually it was back in March, if you remember, we had the elder team up here, and they were talking about the status of our land and wanting to build a building, etc. And so we have been having some meetings with the county, etc., and trying to just want to keep you updated on what all is going on. So if you go to our website and you click under the link Our Story, we kind of have a little bit of a history, and we bring you up to the very last meeting we just had, and actually to the meeting we have planned coming up next week. And so we just want to keep you informed, keep you in the loop that way. So go to our website on that, okay? We're starting a new message series. This idea came to me last summer, and I was thinking of, we all have in our house the drawer, don't we? It's where everything that's really important but just doesn't have its own place, you just kind of pack it in the drawer. And if something's missing, if you can't find it, you go where? To the drawer. That's right. And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of open that drawer up, spiritually speaking, and we're going to look at some random topics that impact us, I think, or should impact us. Today we're going to start with social media and smartphones, all right? Would you say they have an impact? I would say so, too. My wife would tell you that at times I'm too obsessed with my smartphone. And I look at her, I go, but sweetheart, it's making me smarter. And that doesn't work. We're going to look at the topics of heaven. We're going to look at the topics of hell, or topic of hell, excuse me. We're going to look at how in the world do the New Testament and Old Testament go together. They look like they're just completely separate. God looks like he's one way in one Testament, and he's another way in another Testament. How do we make sense of that? Where's the combination and the continuity? So we're going to look at that. And then we'll also take on some crazy ways church people think and have misunderstood and misapplied and interpreted the scriptures. And if you are a seeker, if you're kind of just checking out things spiritually, you're going to laugh at this one, because you've heard them say that and you just rolled your eyes, and you were actually right to roll your eyes. And we'll spend some time there as well. But this morning we're going to talk about social media, and I've kind of married that with smartphones, okay? Because this may not surprise you, but computers, who would ever have thought that laptops would start to decline in popularity and are now being surpassed in sales by smartphones and tablets? We've just kind of, we're pulling away from the computer, and it's because of this little thing right here, which I would tell you is my brain. Some of you, when I said to get your Bibles out, you didn't get a Bible out. You said, Bible, that's old school, Kevin. I got my tablet. I've got my Bible app, which is awesome. I'm not saying anything bad about that. But I want you to go back to a place and time. Remember when you wanted to get onto the internet and you had to go and find a computer and you had to log in? I won't go all the way back to the and just waited for the modem. Remember that? Yeah, some of us are that old. Mm-hmm. And you actually, to find what you were looking for, you had to type in a web address, and then you had to wade through the all that was on the website to find what you're looking for. But not today. We have this little device right here. And we have apps that take us right exactly to where we want to go. Do you remember when you actually had to call people to talk to them? To communicate with them. You had to write an email, and even some of us remember writing letters. But no longer. We don't need to do that anymore. because we have in the palm of our hand the greatest invention in the history of mankind right here. And the wonderful thing is that we can, through social media, through a few taps here and there, it has revolutionized our lives. I don't think anyone would argue that. I know some of you are holding out, right? You go, I still have a dumb phone and I'm hanging on. Good luck. I applaud your stubbornness, all right? But not necessarily all that we have and the freedom that we have is necessarily good. And we're going to talk about that today. But before we talk about that, let's kind of visit for a moment. Let's talk about the friendly side of smartphones and social media, okay? The first thing, and I've kind of mentioned it in general, let's talk about it a little bit more in detail because it just feels good. And it pretty much justifies what we pay for to have a phone like this, right? Well, the first side of the friendly side of social media and smartphones is it expedites and speeds up and makes convenient our lives, right? I mean, we can buy things, we can research things, we can make plane reservations in the palm of our hand. And that makes us free from standing in lines, free from having to drive places. Think about that. The freedom that we have, the freedom to carry around one to-do list right here and for it not to get lost. The freedom to not have to lug around your Bible, lug around books you like to read, lug around all of your, remember this, CDs, cassettes, 8-tracks, albums. We don't have to do that anymore. It's all right here. How expeditious is that? How convenient is that? It's wonderful, right? A second reason that I believe our smartphones and social media is friendly is because it does help us stay connected. Remember, we now can actually stay up real time with people across the world. And we're free from long distance phone bills. We're free from having to drive and travel great distances. We're free from all of that. Remember when you wrote a postcard when you went somewhere? I bet the postcard industry really hates these little things, right? Because all you do is just snap a picture, and it's better than the postcard. You're actually in it, maybe, and you just send it, boom, done. They know where you are, and so you can kind of stay connected. Now, let me parenthetically say for a moment that, and I'm not actually going to get into this because I think this is the obvious side of really what I want to talk about today, but we have to be really careful, and that is that social media cannot replace the face-to-face experience that our relationships need. We cannot replace that, all right? So please, social media really, it helps and it adds to our relationships, but our relationships need our full embodiment, all right? Those that really matter. So we are free up to be connected, all right? That's how one. Lastly, let me say, we also have protection. These little things offer protection because you can call in a moment's notice when you have problem, when you have trouble. And that's awesome. That's great to know. If you're lost, if you need something at the store and you're on, you just call, hey, sweetheart, will you pick this up? Sure, I'd be happy to do that. How did you do that before? You waited until they came home and you said, I need you to go back out. And they looked at you like, you were crazy, right? How about with kids? Oh, there's some wonderful apps. You know exactly where those little rugrats are, don't you? Yep, you do. That Find a Phone app, I love that one because my youngest daughter, when she had it kind of came out after my oldest daughter was old enough to kind of, and we really never had to worry about her anyways, but the younger one was more like me, and so we had to worry about her, right? And so what was really funny is I would just buzz her at given points, like, I just want to know, I know where you are, all right? So don't forget that, all right? And that's wonderful protection. How about driving places? Do you remember when you had to look at directions and try to stay and look at the street signs? And you have your own personal navigator to get you there safely. It's awesome. Okay? So I want to say that I love technology. I embrace technology. There are wonderful things about technology. It's awesome. But there's an unfriendly side to it as well. And that's what I want us to dial into today. Let's talk about the unfriendly side because Paul has a word of warning for us. Believe it or not, he spoke this a long time ago, and I suspect that he wrote this with the anticipation that one day there would be smartphones and there would be social media. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. He says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is helpful. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be brought under the control of anything." So what we have to understand is the freedom that we have, which is wonderful, through social media, through smartphone, and all that that involves, not all of our freedoms are beneficial. And that's what I want to address this morning. The freedom that we have that I just spoke of that is so wonderful, there is an unfriendly side to it, and I want to make sure that we dial into that. And this is not an exhaustive list. These are the ones that I think stand out to me. So let's talk about that. I'm going to give you three ways in which I think our smartphone and our social media can sabotage, can hold us hostage. That's really what I want to talk about. And the first way that I think that smartphones can hold us hostage is we can be held hostage to public approval. All right? I mean, think about this for a minute. Think about what social media did to our culture. Social media, in a very quick amount of time, in real time, it synchronized a large population of people and it introduced a new way to socialize. Specifically, I talk about digital identities. And this large population of people, which is, I believe, at 1.7 billion people are on Facebook. That's a lot of people. That's almost a third of the world's population are on Facebook. And this large synchronized population who can now relate in real time to each other have created social constructs, rules, and ways in which we are to relate to one another that are brand new. And if you don't keep up with them, you're left out. And so I want us to recognize, what is the most damaging aspect maybe of this new social media in which we construct our own social identities? And I would suggest to you that what has happened is you're behind a computer or you're on your smartphone. You're not in front of somebody. And you want to put out there the very best you have. And so now when you relate socially to the world, you're not thinking substantively, you're thinking at a very shallow level in some ways, and you're wondering, what looks best with a selfie I'm about to take? Or you see some aspect of nature or something you want to take a picture of, and instead of taking it in and reflecting on its beauty, it's like, how can I best look in this? How many likes can I get? How many retweets can I get? How many double taps can I get? And so we begin thinking like that. And what we're thinking about is this digital identity that we now have, that we construct. It's not necessarily us either, or it can be a fictitious us. We're putting someone that's not entirely true and representative of who we are in hopes that we'll be liked. And as we get liked, we now are creating this artificial identity that is very hard to keep up with. I mean, let's be honest. I would suspect you've done this, I've done this. When you post anything, it's like an audition. It's like, how can I post something really witty or profound or funny or cool? How can I do that in hopes that I'll get the most likes? And when you post it, right, you put it up there, you just want to sit there and watch all the likes. What did we do before that? Did you call your friends up and say, hey, listen, I just did this. Will you tell me you like that? No, we didn't do that. We live somehow without that. But this new social media phenomenon has created for us a new socialization. Some of it being very good, but I'm calling attention to that which holds us hostage to public approval, in which we audition with our selfies. We audition with what we post and how witty and how funny and how inspiring and how insightful it can be. And we're hiding our true selves. when we worry about that. Or we're setting out and we're saying it's okay for my self-worth and identity to be based on people's opinions, all right? And that is very dangerous. It's very damaging. The great news is that God has protection for us. And this is where I want you to get your Bibles open, if you would. I want to show you the first line of protection that God has for us in this new socialization in which public approval is just, it's heightened. Now, public approval has always been there. Don't get me wrong. We've always worried and been concerned with what people think about us, but social media has amped that up, and it's sped it up because we're kind of addicted to immediate affirmation. And social media has made that possible. What's our protection from that? Well, if you'll open your Bible to your table of contents, you've got your Old Testament, your New Testament. I want you to find the book of Romans in your New Testament. It's the sixth book down. So let's turn to Romans chapter 5. And it'll be up on the screen as well, too. Or if you're on your tablet, smartphone, turn to Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read to you probably, for some of you, it's a familiar verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God's protection for us in this environment in which we are hanging on to public approval for our identity and self-worth. God's protection is that he has sacrificed everything. He has sacrificed everything for us so that we could become a child of God. We could become in the family of God. In other words, God says, I've liked you. And I liked you no matter what you posted, no matter what you tweeted. I liked you no matter what picture you took. I liked you. I loved you. For you. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul says, but God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God gave up his very best. Everything he had, he gave up Jesus Christ to live in your place and my place, because our lives are a mess. They're a mess. And we know that. We know that. But we hide from that. And God knew that, and he said, the only way out of this is for me to remedy the situation. And he sends Jesus Christ in your place and in my place to live a perfect life that we couldn't, and then to die in your place and my place. And then God says, I'm satisfied with that. And he raised him 3 days later. And that is God's his shout to us, that he likes us, he loves us unconditionally. And then Romans chapter 8, this is the greatest adoption ever. This is the greatest family situation ever. Romans chapter 8. I'm in 1 Corinthians, don't ask me why. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. Listen to Paul again. He says, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. God is saying, my protection for you to try to gain and win the public approval of people through their likes and their retweets and all of that, he says, that's not the way to live. That's a destructive way to live. He goes, I've loved you with everything I have, and I will love you unconditionally. You are great in my eyes, just like you are. So that's our protection against what I believe is a very damaging, enslaving aspect of social media. What's the second one? Let's talk about the second one. The second one is, and I know we're all familiar with this one, there's a little button on Facebook called Newsfeed. And we watch as people post their stories and the things they bought and the places they went and the things their kids did and the weight they lost and the promotions they got. We watch them. And what do? We fight comparing ourselves against them. And through the comparison, as it's inevitable in us, because it's a part of our brokenness, we experience this thing called discontent. Why am I not like that? Why is my spouse not like that? Why can't we afford that? Why can't we go there? Why is that not happening to me? I mean, I've talked to people recently who said, I got off of Facebook for that reason. I would sit there and I would get bitter and I would get jealous and I would get angry and I would get frustrated. I'm thinking, why am I doing this to myself? And so another way in which we are enslaved and can be enslaved through social media is through discontent. And Jesus' half-brother had something very strong to say about when we compare ourselves. Kind of spoke about where that inevitably leads. In James chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus' half-brother says this. He goes, but if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't brag and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above. It is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. How do you really feel about it, James? For where envy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every kind of evil. I mean, if we paraded people up here and said, hey, tell us about how the time you compared yourself to somebody, how'd that go? It didn't go well. Now, you might be thinking, well, most of my comparisons, I'm always coming out better. Okay. Well, when you do that, you become arrogant. People don't like that. How are your friendships? I'm curious. The other side of it is, as we compare ourselves and we don't measure up, we become discontent. And what happens then? We start that negative self-talk. We start beating ourselves up. We start questioning our manhood. And that does not play out well. Now again, comparing isn't anything new. We've always done that. But social media now has made it very easy. It's amped it up as well. You don't have to live next door to somebody and watch them pull up in a new car. You don't have to live next door to somebody and watch them celebrate some great accomplishment of their kid. You just go to the news feed and you just do this. And you see it all the time. And, you know, here's the irony in this. Here's what happens when we sit there and we go through our news feed and we start to feel discontent. We are comparing our behind-the-scenes lives with people's highlights. Stephen Furtick made that, I think, brilliant observation. People are posting their best. And we are in a life lived way beyond just what's being posted. And we're comparing our behind the scenes, the struggles that is typical of life, we're comparing that against people's best, and we'll never come out well there, ever. Now I'm not saying, hey, we just need to learn to compare better. I'm not saying that. Don't hear me say that. Some of you are going to now do that. Don't. You just saw James said that comparing ourselves to other people is demonic. It messes with you spiritually, and it drives you to insanity. And just like you have and just like I have, those posts that you're reading, I assure you, they're calculated. They've thought, how can this make me come across in the best light possible? How can this, is this my good side? Do I look cool? Does this look fun? Do I look like I have it all together? Would people want my life? I mean, those kinds of considerations are going through many of our posts and our tweets and our pictures. Just know that when you're looking at that. Just know that. That's happening. So what's God's protection for that? God's protection for discontent and his evil twin brothers' envy and bitterness. What is God's protection for that? Well, in Philippians chapter 4, it'll be up on your screen. Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes this, mind you, from a prison. Imagine his news feed. All his pictures. Hey, Paul, what are those bars behind you? This is where I am. So Paul writes from Philippians chapter 4. Let's pick it up with verse 10. He's writing this letter from prison back to a church that he loves dearly who had been helping him before but was unable at this moment to help them. And he's trying to calm their sense of why we're not able to help Paul at this point. And in chapter 4, verse 10, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need. For I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have a little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. Now, before he divulges the secret, I'm just asking you, does that appeal to anybody? Imagine how life could be if we could live in all circumstances at a level of contentment. I mean, that would change, that would revolutionize infinitely greater than social media and smartphones if we could do that. And Paul says, I've learned it. It took some time. It took some experiences, but I've learned it. And what is it? Verse 13, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. He's talking about his relationship with Jesus. What Paul has learned and God's protection for contentment is not circumstantial. It is relational. It is our relationship with Jesus as we stay connected, as we stay like a branch hangs on to a vine, in the same way we stay connected, the promise that we have is that God will bless us with contentment no matter our circumstances. And that's not to say that when things are going really well, does our contentment seem to rise? Yes, it does. There's nothing wrong with that. But it means when our circumstances begin to sink, our contentment doesn't. And we need to recognize that when we're just blowing through the news feed and we're seeing all these great things that we wish we were doing, how we wish we looked, who we wish we ran around with, we need to recognize that we are being enslaved to discontentment and that God's protection is to run to Jesus. It is to connect with Jesus. It's to stay there. Focus on that. Let him be your news feed and no one else. Lastly, and this one was the most difficult for me to kind of wrestle to the ground, and so if this comes out a little confusing, let me just qualify right now and say, I'm sorry, all right? But there's something there that I've experienced that I've seen in other people as well, so I'm going to do my best. I mean, I fought this thing to the ground to about 30 minutes ago. God, please, may this come out of my mouth making sense. But the third thing that I think really we're held hostage by, or can be held hostage with social media and with smartphones, is we can live at a level of shallowness and boredom in our lives. Now, the best way I know to explain this is what smartphones and social media have brought about, and I heard this word, I love this word, our lives have become atomized. A-T-O-M-I-Z-E-D. In other words, we have broken life down into the smallest bits and bytes of information that we don't really take the time to read in depth. We're flying around so much. We have so many alerts and notifications and all that's going on, and we have so many things that we can push our finger to and open up to our lives so much, and we're trying to soak it all in that we go an inch deep in the matters of life. Because we're too busy, we're too distracted, we're flying around. I mean, this sometimes, I'm gonna start. I'm gonna tell you right now, and then I'm gonna ask for a show of hands. And answer correctly, answer truthfully. Some of you are not, as I'm about to tell you I am. There are times I'm addicted to this, particularly around things like March Madness, football games, those kinds of things. I can't put this thing down. I got to see how my Red Sox are continuing to kick the boop out of the Yankees. I love that. I love that. And I want to see every inning, every out of it. Anybody else, by a show of hands, would you say this might have a little bit too much of your attention in your life? Just raise your hand. Okay. That's a fair number of us. Thank you for being honest. That just tells me that I'm glad I picked this subject, because if I hadn't, it'd been really a bore, right? You'd wonder why you came. Because life has gotten so soundbite-ish, and because with smartphones, we're just one tap away from so much. What we do is, it's hard for us to focus on the real matters of life. And so we can become shallow in our understanding. We don't sit and reflect on things. We're just firing around. What does he think? What does she think? And what we do is we blurt out how we feel about things. Has anyone ever blurted out on social media and regretted it? Have you ever just gotten really angry and here it comes, boom? Yeah, well, that felt really good. And then all of a sudden you start thinking, that was downright stupid. Why did I do that? Or someone else said, that was really stupid. Why'd you do that? Because that's the culture we're in. That's the speed at which we're responding and reacting. And we're making bad decisions because of it. We're saying things we shouldn't say. We're letting our feelings, we're just emoting out there with all the emojis in the world. Again, pictures to say a whole lot for us because we don't want to say it or we don't want to type it out. And I think it's coming at the expense of shallowness. I don't know that we're really well thought out. I know it challenges me because we're in hyperspeed. That's the new socialization that we are in, and it requires speed. You don't want to be left behind. And there's so many posts and so many things happening, but it's not just shallowness. You see, I think shallowness gives way to boredom. I think social media has become, for many of us, the answer to our boredom. I mean, this is cathartic for me, all right? Do you know when I stop at a stoplight, I'm like, well, this is time for me to check on the scores because I'm bored sitting at this light. Commercials on TV at home when Nancy and I are watching something. Oh, this is time to check something out. Hi, my name's Kevin Sullivan, and I'm addicted to my smartphone. Okay? Why the shallowness and why the boredom? I would argue that shallowness and boredom exist where there's no real sense of purpose. When life becomes just these fast moments in which we're not reflecting, we're not taking time to step back, I would suggest to you that God is saying, Kevin, what you call boredom, I call times of solitude and silence and reflection on your place in life, on who I am and the purpose for which you're created. Kevin, if all you do is fly around at hyperspeed trying to keep up with this information and that person and this score, you're going to miss it. And life will become incredibly boring and mundane. And God's protection, God has protected us. God says in Psalm 139, this is one of my favorite verses. In Psalm 139, it'll be up on the screen. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. Listen to what David says. God speaking through David, he says, for it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. God is saying to us that he has created us as image bearers. He has created us for something great, something much greater than just blowing through news feeds, something much greater that requires and needs that disconnected solitude time with God so that we can measure our lives up about where we are in the world and about how desperate we are for God and how we need him and how we've been created for a purpose and designed to do something great. We need that boredom, that time of solitude. Psalm 139. And then in Proverbs chapter 16, we hear Solomon say, as God speaks through him, Proverbs chapter 16, verses 3 and 4, commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will be achieved. The Lord has prepared everything for his purpose, even the wicked for the day of disaster. God has a plan and a purpose, and it's to bring glory to him. And I need to use social media. I need to use my smartphone to further the purposes of God, to further the glory of God, to realize that I'm here for a reason, a very special purpose and reason, and it is to bring glory to God. It's to advance the kingdom to people who desperately need it, and you as well. You can't get bored if you are setting your mind on that. You cannot become, you won't be shallow if you keep that perspective because you realize something great is going on and you have been written and I have been written as followers of Jesus into this incredible, epic, great story that God is writing. I mean, how do you get bored with that? The only way I know that you get bored with that is you get distracted. And I get distracted. And we get enough push notifications and we get enough alerts and reminders that we get distracted. And we have to be really, really careful with that. So before I give you some homework for the week that you're not going to like, let me ask you a couple questions. The first question that I think we should ask with every post that we make. And as a matter of fact, as I'm asking these questions, I'm going to ask the band if they would come on up, because we're going to sing a song that I hope kind of maybe solidifies and kind of nails down some of this. But here's two questions I just want you to ask about your social life. Does the use of social media call attention to yourself more than others? Be honest with yourself about that. Does my social media and how I interact, does it call attention to myself more than it calls attention to others? Do you realize people just don't care where you eat? They just don't. They don't care what you eat. They don't care where you eat. They don't care what you eat. Secondly, does my use of social media and smartphone help me to accomplish the central purpose for my life to advance the kingdom, or does it distract me? Does it hinder me? You actually, be honest with yourself about that, okay? And after you work through those two questions, here's my homework for the week. The challenge for us all, one, is take a break from social media for this whole week. No apps. Leave your phone simply. Let it just be a dumb phone. Fool it. Text and talk only, all right? Some of you might actually need to hide this. Some of you might need to say to your spouse, don't let me see this for a week. And that also means your computer, all right? Stay away. Stay off of social media. And when you come back, tell people why you did it. If you want to, tell people why you're going off, but come back and tell them why you did it, all right? Secondly is, would you use next week when you're back on social media, would you please use that not for yourself, but for the glory of God? Share with people, because the social media is a wonderful thing that God has given us. Share what God is doing in your lives and let your friends see that. Use it to glorify and honor God in that way. And then lastly, set up some smartphone rules at home, all right? What are the things, what are the times, what are the places at home that need to be sacred, smartphone free, okay? So just think about that. Let me pray, and then we're gonna sing a song. God, I pray that you will take this time that we've talked about, an incredible thing that you've given us, but can become a very unfriendly thing to us. Father, I pray that your truth would prevail, that our lives would change, and that we would continue with the purpose you've given us as followers of Jesus to move the kingdom forward using social media to do that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.